Welcome to the Tea Time podcast.
I can't believe people are gonna listen to this.
I know, I'm violating their ear holes.
Hello, friends.
ASMR. Today we're doing some ASMR. Are you ready to be sensationalized with the sounds of my voice?
Anyways, ciao. Welcome to the weekly stand-up.
No, this is the Tea Time podcast, and this segment is called the weekly stand-up.
Welcome to our segment. What's your highlight of the week?
Mine, there's two. One quick one from literally just now. The reason my hair is messed up, if you're watching the video, is because Nicolette was messing with my hair with stupid products and doesn't understand that that's not this how it works.
That is how it works.
Our hair is not the same.
That's how it works.
She thinks just because she has curly hair that her curly hair stuff works the same way.
I think that I have more knowledge on products that you should use. Than you do.
Imagine telling it. Embarrassing.
I need to prepare myself for our kids, okay? I'm getting educated.
Embarrassing. Okay. Anyway, my actual weekly stand-up is... Come here. Choco Sibe. I'm only joking. Choco Sibe. Joe. Joe Body Joe. Anyway, this is my gripe. Someone put a... reel out of like us about the whole
Christmas in Nigeria
thing. All right, listen here, here, lad. All right, I'm Nigerian. Don't let the fucking English fool you. I'm Nigerian. Yoruba, more Yoruba than me.
Are you at this point anymore?
I think
we struck a chord.
Anyway, listen here, buddy. More Yoruba than me. Listen, let me say it again. Listen, open your ears. Omo Yoruba ni mi. Omo Yoruba ni mi. You're Omo Yoruba ni mi. How many times did I say it? Three times.
Do you know what would be great? What? I think I want to post a clip of this. So, what does Christmas look like in Nigeria?
No. Hold on. Before I answer this, you dumb fucks in those comment sections. I didn't take it personally, but you know, I was like, I have the weekly stand-up. Let me go air my gripe. You're dumb. If you listened to even the clip and the podcast episode, you'd hear I said, it's not like Christmas in the West. Where are we right now? Where is Ireland? Ireland is in the West. Niger is not in the West. I said it's not like Christmas in the West. It's more of an excuse to party. Yes, as in they do more partying than... Father Christmas, lights, this, that, bass, boss. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. That's the point I was getting across. But then some, you want to misconstrue it and be like, it doesn't know we do Christmas. Shut the fuck up.
They're going
to
be like, oh, now he's putting on a fake robot accent.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Listen here or there. Listen.
I think this might sound very riled up, obviously, if you're listening.
Yeah, obviously.
So basically what happened was we posted a reel a year ago.
So long ago.
Where I was asking Farouk what Christmas looked like in Nigeria. They clipped that small snippet where he said that, oh, it's not the same as it is in the West. And they ran with it. They basically stitched it, added some clips of
walking. It was pretty funny. The reel is actually funny. So.
Yeah, no, it was funny. Yeah. It was a funny reel. I was like, what? This is us. And then the comments just went crazy on Farouk being like, oh, he's not a real Nigerian.
Shut the fuck up. Most of you are, you're talking to me. If I came to Nigeria, you'd be out here begging me for money. Shut the fuck up. Or dead.
Not the begging you for money. God.
It didn't strike a nerve, though.
It did. Oh, I bet it did.
But I'm only joking. That was all for shits and gigs. You know, haha, lol. Shout out. What was your weekly stand-up, Nicoletta?
Do you know what? I'm trying to turn on my iPad right now.
Oh, if you didn't guess, Nicoletta got her iPad. And also, like, can you imagine that she put on Face ID on her phone and didn't do it properly? Yeah. And so it doesn't recognize her properly.
It doesn't recognize my face. Oh, it's so awkward.
And I keep telling her, just go redo it. She's like,
do you know? It's just so weird. So my Face ID doesn't usually, like, clock it me unless I go like this.
Yeah, because you freaking... You know, so you if you're hearing now, I'm gonna try to describe it. But for people who are watching, you can just follow along. Essentially, when you want to set up Face ID for the first time, it tells you put your face in the center of the circle and do a 360, like you know, like kind of like looking upwards, right, bottom, and left. Nicoletta turns her whole fucking head. Her whole head, like, you know, showing, and her chin is like the center point.
Constantly looking at the camera.
Yeah, and her chin is the center point. So she, her chin is like at the center point. She's going like turning her whole head like this. Of course, it doesn't recognize you. It freaking thinks her face is like a chin. Are you dumb? Like, go redo the freaking face ID. I told her as well when she did it the first time. I was like, you didn't do it properly. She's like, oh no, it's okay. And now look, she's facing issues.
But I'm just going to deal with it because I'm just too lazy.
Just redo it. It's literally like one thing. Like, yeah, I don't know, man. 10 seconds, bro.
I don't know, man. One day it won't recognize me.
And then you're like, oh.
That was funny.
When you really need it. When your hands are like too cold. You know, like it's like, especially now that we're getting to it. You're like, you can't even type. You're like,
and it's, I'm trying to pay for Revolut.
Yeah, and everyone's like, can you hurry the fuck up, please? Like, we're trying to go home. Like,
anyways, that wasn't even my weekly stand-up. That was just me trying to get my to my weekly stand-up. But my highlight, I guess, is related to the topic of today. And it's basically this TikTok that I sent you earlier where this husband is like screaming at his pregnant wife in the kitchen, and he's
okay, come on, screaming.
He's shouting. He's like, he's trying to get her attention. Yeah, he's like, hey, like, you know, our toddler pooped, and she's like, okay, and he's like, should I like change him? And she's like, yeah, almost like, duh, obviously you should, right? And I was like, if you're gonna be like that,
leave. The door's right there. You're changing all the poop.
You're meant to say
you're changing all the poop. You're changing all the poop. You're okay, then let me double down. You're going to change all the poop. You're going to do all the cooking, all the cleaning. I expect you to work as well. Bring food to the table. I need you to take care of the kids. Take care of me. I take off anything else. I expect you to, when I get home, for there to be clean clothes, food on the table, everything ready.
For sure. I got you. But yeah.
After your long day at work too.
Oh yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a highlight for me because it just, I don't know, it feels very weird to me, and we'll get into this a little bit later, how parenting when it comes to expectations of men hasn't changed a lot, but so much of everything of expectations of women has changed so much, you know? And if, you know, you guessed it, today we're talking about parenting. Obviously, we're not like experts or not parents.
Like, we're not parents. So, like, we're talking about it from a completely opinionated point of view, only due to the fact that, one, we happen to have parents, yeah. I guess. That's a thing. And it's the internet. I can give my opinion on anything, to be honest.
And then people will be like, you can't give your opinion. I was like, well, you just listen to it.
And then people are going to say, we need to tax people with mics or get the mics away from people. You know,
not
stuff
everyone
like that.
Who has a voice should have a podcast.
Well,
or something.
You go make a podcast.
Yeah.
Anyways. And then you let it get this big.
I'm going to read a story because the best way to start a podcast is with a story. And it goes like this. How do you handle having different parenting style than your partner? My partner and I have a 3-year-old and a 7-month-old. I'm doing everything in my power to parent differently than I was raised. I use gentle parenting, compassion, curiosity, and have a good understanding of how toddlers grow developmentally. My partner is harsh, can be immature, will say things like, stop fake crying, and uses force verbally as a means to get things done. He just disciplines in a way that escalates things and in the long run teaches our 3-year-old the exact thing he's trying to get him not to do. I will often step in and take over or say something. I feel like I can't step back and just watch it happen. My heart breaks for my son in these moments. His feelings deserve to be validated, and I just strongly empathize with a dysregulated kid trying to navigate a big new world. Our different parenting styles are such a point of contention. Anyone else navigating a similar situation?
Interesting. What do you think?
So before we get into the story, I kind of wanted to describe the different types of parenting.
Okay, go ahead.
So that we're aware of what she's like and what he's like. Okay, so first we have authoritative type of parenting, right? And this
These are all just names. Like, when do people start making names for parenting? It's just parenting.
Yeah, and there's a lot. And I only took the top few. Like, it's the list just
goes down. This is just so dumb. Like, when people start making names, gentle parenting.
Okay. Authoritative is nurturing and responsive while setting clear boundaries. So, you know, you're nurturing to the kid and responsive, but there's like boundaries in place, like I'm the parent or the kid kind of way. Then there's authoritarian, which is different, and that has strict rules and discipline set in place. So there's like limited emotional warmth. It's not like, oh, come here, let me give you a hug. You know, it's more like authoritarian. Then there's permissive, which is a lot more lenient and indulgent, kind of just letting the kid do whatever, really. Helicopter parents, which is over involved and micromanaging everything the kid does. Definitely seen a few of those. We have free range, like eggs. This is encourages independence and allows the kid to explore the world with minimal interaction. So I think a lot of it is like the...
Just let them run around like a headless chicken.
Basically.
No, that's what it is.
But I think it it's similar to the Montessori like schools, you know, where you're kind of letting the kids navigate and do things. But yeah. And then finally, and I added this to the list, it's gentle parenting, which prioritizes empathy and understanding. So I guess this is what this lady is trying to do in the story, be a little bit more gentle. And he kind of sounds like, you know, there's more like strict rules, and by the sounds of it, he's not very like emotionally there.
Mm-hmm.
So more authoritarian, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
So what do you think?
No, I'm listening.
No.
I think like the alignment thing is always an interesting thing, because like, do you align? Like, do you try to align your parenting styles? You know, or do you try to like be different and then maybe see what works and get the best of both worlds? Maybe, who knows? I don't really know, honestly, like when it comes to that scenario. I think it's like all whichever. I personally think like gentle parenting sucks, in my personal opinion. This is just
why do you think that?
Let me preface this once again. It is my personal opinion. You don't need to get your pitchforks out at me. I do think
general comments will be good.
I don't really care, to be honest. Gentle bearing sucks, because like it just it's the same with free range. They all suck, like, because you're raising a softie, a big softie. And I know I sound like a freaking boomer, like right now, you know, like, but you are raising a big softie. Like, there, you can be in tune to your emotions, but not be controlled by your emotions. And I believe if you're gentle parenting or like absolutely like free range, I would even say gentle parenting is even worse, because like at least free range, like they can like see the harsh reality of the world as well. Like, you know, you're not like coin like babying them. But gentle parenting definitely like doesn't like, I know the correct way to do gentle parenting apparently works, you know, because the idea is like,
yeah, it's like,
you know, instead of telling them, hey, put that on the ground, it's like, hey, we're going to draw your attention away from that and onto this thing instead, yeah, you know, like try to make them on, like, so, I guess like if it worked like that in real life, maybe it wouldn't be bad, but it doesn't work like that. It's just more like cuddling your kid, you know, like just like little.
Do you think like people use the term to coddle their kid?
Yes, I believe that's what I see gentle parenting as. It's just like a way of cuddling their kid.
But then,
you know,
the
creating
the
little
actual
soy boys.
Can you explain?
I said what I said.
Can
look
you explain
it up.
What that is?
Go look up what a soy boy.
A soy boy.
Yeah, go look up what a soy boy means. But like, it's kind of like things like that, right? And I, and once again, I feel like it is good to be empathetic, but it is not good to be overly empathetic.
Okay.
Because what ends up happening is then you raise someone who does not understand the harsh reality of the world. And yes, everyone's like, well, why is the harsh reality of the world like that? Why can't we just be considerate of everybody? Because once you're trying to be considerate of every single body, you end up with the situation we're in now, when you cannot be considered of every single body.
How would you teach your kids the reality of the world through your parenting style?
I think, to be honest, when I was listening to it, I think authoritative is pretty good.
Okay.
Because not
so
only
nurturing.
Like, you're being nurturing.
Yeah.
Because I believe you should be a nurturing parent. Mm-hmm. I don't think you should be like a dickhead, right? But I believe you need to be like this, that, yeah, like, you know,
clear
A, B, C,
right,
you know, boundaries. Like, I'll be your best friend, but I'm still your dad. You know, like, I'll be your best friend, but I'll see your dad. You know, so it's like, this is this. And, like, I think anyone who's, like, listened to this podcast long enough knows I'm kind of, like, a harsher guy. Mm-hmm. So I would be harsh on him, be like, yo, yeah, like, you know, I would never, like, obviously, What's it called? I wouldn't hit my kid or anything like that. But if they did something dumb, I'm like, yeah, you're dumb. You're a dummy dumb dumb. And that's what it is. Like,
so it's like, oh, yeah, this will happen. Like, it's like the consequences of your actions.
Exactly. The consequences of your actions is like this. Oh my God, the consequences of my actions. This is what it is, right?
Yeah.
You know? And so like, I would just be like that because like, that is how you're going to deal with the world. You face the consequences of your actions. You get called out. You get whatever, right? If you don't get called out, once you like... And that's my issue with, like, gentle parenting, now that I'm saying it. It's like, if you don't get called out on your shit and everyone always tries to, like, essentially yes-man you or, like, baby you, once the real world slaps you in the face, you're so taken aback for it and you're not really prepared. And then you just be like, because your whole worldview is, like, I can do no wrong or I have to be catered for, you're automatically, like, this person's an op. You know, even though they might just be disagreeing with you, just automatically like, this person's an op. Mm-hmm. And that's like the whole problem with like, we kind of touched on it before, I think in the last episode or wherever, about like the internet echo chambers. And that's the problem with internet echo chambers. Mm-hmm. If you only hear your sense of opinion, you then get in a situation where any opposing opinion is just automatically wrong to you without even giving it a second thought. Mm-hmm. And that's where like, I think gentle parenting fails personally for me.
I think like... I agree in terms of people taking gentle parenting and then just kind of molding it to whatever they want it to be. Yeah. Where it's like, they almost take it literally. Like, I'm just going to be gentle about everything.
It's like, okay, Tommy,
you know,
you can stab me. I'm sorry.
And it's not like that because I think we saw, I sent you the TikTok of the guy parent who, like, the kid was doing something, right, bad. And instead of being like, oh, stop doing that, he just grabbed his hand. It's like, here's what we're not going to do. And then, like, took him away, right? So yeah. It's kind of like... you're a little bit more involved in the kid's life than just telling them no, because kids don't really understand a lot of things. Kids don't understand anything.
They're dumb. Like, you're telling me you're going to go to a two-year-old. You're going to look at it. Like, they're like, let's say they're painting on the wall, right, with a crayon. You just look at it and you're like, no, don't do that. You know, and you know, they don't even say it in like a stern way. They're like, stop. No, don't do that. It's not the right thing. We don't paint on the wall. The kid is just like, gibberish, 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 paints on the wall. And then it doesn't understand. But if you go, hey, you, you know, scare the life into the kid and be like, don't do that. And then they're like, and then, you know, you see their face of like, they're about to cry. You're like, hey, listen here, buddy. I'm not giving out to you in the sense of like, you don't need to cry over everything. Listen here, child.
Stop crying.
All right. Stop crying. This is bad. Bad. No, no, we don't do this. You want to do this? You do it on a paper. You give them the paper and they do that. You teach them. No, you don't do this. You do this, right?
Yeah.
And then you have to be like, matter of fact. And then because then they're like, okay.
Yeah.
Like they don't understand. Yeah, but they just know that, okay. Because like you're not shouting at them. You're just being stern. Because they're like, their tone of voice changed. Because like kids can pick up on those things. Mm-hmm. Like that's why they like feel like crying when someone like shouts at them or gives they're like, this is not normal. So they know like something... They're like, something I did caused this. And then they're about to cry. And then you're just like, hey, this is the other thing.
I think consequences are really important. And it might sound like bad because it's like, oh, you want to punish your kid.
But I
think consequences are really important. Like I follow
That's why this, people get detention.
Yeah, I follow this family on TikTok. And it's this... the dad, he's very involved. Like, he makes the kid run all the time and do laps and all this kind of thing. And they're very athletic. But there was this video that he posted where the kid was drawing on the wall. The two girls were drawing on the wall. He came and was like, oh, we're not doing this. You're going to have to clean it up right now. Gave them, like, the cleaning tools. Like, you are not leaving here until all this is clean.
Yeah.
Because, like, I guess it's a washable wall, whatever. But they were crying doing that. And he's like, well, I'm sorry that you're upset, but you're going to have to clean up,
exactly.
Right? And I really like that because you can't just let the kid get away and then you're... cleaning up after them, and then it's kind of like there's just no boundaries, and the problem is how do they interact with the actual world then after, because
exactly.
People aren't going to treat them like that in the real world. Like, you can't be doing that.
Yeah,
you know,
like back in the day, Nigeria, you get smacked for that. You know, like straight up, they don't even think twice.
Your
smack,
neighbor will smack you, your parents will smack you.
Smack, like, you know, that's how it works. As I've told Nicola the stories, you'll do something bad in school. The teacher will beat you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the principal will beat you too. Even the janitor could beat you because you did something bad. And on your way home, your neighbor finds out, they beat you too. You know, to be like, hey, I heard this, beat you. And then you go home, and then your parents beat you. And then they might beat you again because everyone else beat you. It's like, well, you're making us look like a fool.
A damn fool.
You know?
What do you think makes what do you think makes a good parent to you?
A good parent. That's a good one. I think honestly, a good parent is someone who tries their best to prepare you for the world without being too emotional or too hard. Because I think like there's definitely a balance that has to be struck. But the thing is, when it comes to preparing for the world, we're not talking about like education. Like education is very serious and very important. But as in like you can navigate scenarios and you will always be like witty enough to understand like what you need to do and what you need, like street smart and also like people intelligence, as in like being able to understand how people are going about things. And I think about this just because like I feel like those are good traits to have in most life scenarios, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you, let's say you like don't even enjoy school or anything like that, and you just wind up, let's say you wanted to make a business or whatever, most of the things you have to deal with is with other people, human, dealing with human interaction. Mm-hmm. And a parent who like lets you be able to do that to the best of your ability, like whether it's being confident when you're talking or being able to understand when people are doing certain things or how superiors feel in certain ways, it's going to make you, help you both, not only in the workplace, in real life, in your relationship, it's going to help you everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think if you can do that for someone and they're not a shitty person and they're not either, and they're not overly emotional, I think you've succeeded as a parent. Okay. If they can survive on their own like that, mm-hmm. I think that's the perfect like success
setting
metric.
Setting them up for life.
Exactly. Like that, from there, they can pretty much do whatever they want.
Right.
You know, like they'll be in a good scenario because they'll always know how to interact with people at the best of their abilities and the way to maximize every scenario they're in. Mm-hmm. That's my personal opinion.
No, I agree. I think they're doing the best to set you up for life and like to succeed in life. So like for sure. I think for me, what would make a good parent is the parent kind of like admitting that they don't know everything and it's their first time parenting also. Mm. I always kind of found like, I don't know, just the kind of parents that kind of like, I'm the parent and I know everything. Oh, that always kind of just irked me. Because I said so or whatever. And I think my mom has always been a lot more, not gentle in her approach because she'd have her boundaries, but she just explained things to me like, this is why we don't do X, Y, Z, da, 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 da. And, you know, I think like a lot of parents do lack that kind of like, you know, and I think this kind of affects the relationship later on when the kid's a teen and stuff.
Yeah.
Because you need to kind of accept that you don't know everything as a parent. You need to be able to own up to the fact
to your L's, like
you don't know everything, and it's okay to admit that to your child. I don't think that's like a flaw or like, you know, it makes you look bad if you admit that to your child. Yeah. Because like I would hope that you raise like a kid who's understanding, you know, and stuff like that. So I think that's a really good trait to have as a parent.
And that's great because as you said, like I think stuff like that, sharing that vulnerability that you don't understand anything, you can also learn things from your kids.
Exactly.
Like I'm sure like in your scenario, like your mom also learned things from you because she's like, yo, like obviously like I don't know everything, but you know, and stuff like that, and but I'm gonna try my best and everything. Mm-hmm. And it makes them, as you said, more understanding to your scenario. Like if they, like if your parent messed up, it's like, it's, to be honest, like it's not like they know what they're doing either. They've said it, like, you know.
Exactly.
And then so would you say that would be the most paramount thing to do for as a parent, like to try to own up to your kids to do that? Or would you say like that's secondary alongside something else?
I don't really know. I think it's hard when it comes to like what makes good parenting, because obviously setting them up for life, teaching the right values and, you know, respect for others and that kind of thing, that those things are important as well. So you can't have one and then like have the other and all things like that. It just kind of like the first thing that came to my mind of like, what's a good parent? And it's a parent that I feel like admits that they're not always a good parent. They're gonna get things wrong. And I think that's just something that I value in people in general, like doing, you know, I guess owning up to their L's and being like, look, I'm sorry I messed up about this or that. And like, I guess just self-reflecting, which not everyone does, you know. I feel like I'm very harsh with myself and how I am with my friends and the way I think and trying to constantly change the way I am. So I think that that's really like respectable to look at, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
Keeping on the good vibes and good parenting, I'm going to read another piece here and then we can discuss after. So What are some things that older generations of parents absolutely did right? I know we always get caught up in the boomers and other generations and what they did wrong with their parenting, but what are some things you think they did absolutely right and are things you will continue to do with your own children? I'll go first. Steady, strict meals and bedtimes and meals served together at the table. I keep seeing more and more people that kind of just eat whenever and don't make their children go to bed at a decent hour. I have a cousin that doesn't believe in schedules at all, and her 5 and 3-year-old typically go to bed between midnight and 3 a.m., where they just pass out wherever, on the couch, on the floor, etc. They'll eat dinner at 11 p.m., there's no real work schedule need for this, and she's a stay-at-home mom. After all my time working in daycare as being an elementary school teacher, and then having my own kids, it's my opinion that kids thrive with very predictable schedules and routines. I think older generations absolutely got that right. Down the sun, up with the sun, sit at the table for 3 square meals a day, morning, noon, and night. What are yours?
Tell us, Nicoletta. What do you think?
I think I agree with the sitting as a family unit, but I think that a lot of the I see a lot of examples like that even I had where it was a very tense situation. So I don't think it helped anyone to be at that table because there wasn't a fun conversation had. Really, it was just kind of like tense, like, oh, we all have to sit here, you know, that kind of thing. I do agree with it if it's in like a fun kind of like way, like discussing, da da da, having conversations with your kids, but it's not necessarily. I think what I think was definitely something that older generations did do very right is letting the kids be bored. Letting the kids roam free outside, play outside, figure out how to have fun versus like, you know, we see a lot of today, which we're going to get into a bit later, of like iPad kind of life and just throwing that in front of a kid. But coming up with things to do that are entertaining really lets that creative mind flow, you know, the juices flow. And I think that's something that they definitely got very right, whether it was intentional or not. I think it's something that was definitely done right.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And just so I don't end up piggybacking off that, I think, from my opinion, obviously I kind of already mentioned it, I think being a lot more stringent, if that's the word, you know, English is not my first language. Anyway, being a lot more stringent in senses and like, I feel like, and I keep going back to the whole thing, don't think I hate empathetic people now, but like, I think because they're a lot more like just like like, you know, like you gotta be like this, like I don't think you have to be like the whole like man, no, like toxic, you don't have to be toxic like masculinity or anything like that, or like females in their places. No, I think it should be both males and females. Like every single person should be like, okay, this is a situation of like I want to be empathetic of people's plights and stuff like that, but and especially like in scenarios that I don't understand, but at the same time I shouldn't be over emotional as of a person myself, because I do think like I've noticed in my own life, like not like from people around me, that being very an emotional person seems to be a very big downfall for a lot of people, in the sense as in like it really like restricts their growth because they end up being so doubtful of themselves, like when they're over emotional, or they trip over themselves because they're very emotional, right? They get in their head almost, or if they think they're class and then someone says something, then it fucks with them, right? Like both, or either they end up being too down. Like it can go both ways, whether two up or two down, right? And I've noticed that, like, whereas I feel like because people, like, I think they were a little bit too much, obviously, back in the day, but because of that, it kind of put people way more leveled, you know, which made it much, much easier for them, you know? And like, I think it definitely helps, like, obviously, like with stuff, like when it comes to like obviously, like when it comes to mental depression and stuff like that, it's all in your head and you have to like try your best, obviously. And it's the only you that understands your struggles. But I think if you are definitely a lot more balanced of a person, it is a lot easier to not get into those scenarios. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot easier or harder to fight yourself out of those scenarios, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because like you don't, like your emotion doesn't just like bing bounce around kind of thing. And that's something I just noticed like in people around me and stuff like that who I've seen definitely. Really? Who I've seen, like, obviously I've been lying, and obviously, as I said, but it also has negatives, because as you can see, like, I'm a walking example of that negative. Like, I've gotten a lot better, and like, well, I'm definitely a lot more cold than I am like warm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I would rather be more cold than warm, like, because I've seen like what being too warm is, right?
Do you think it's possible to strike a balance?
I think it is possible to strike, and I think that is what the parents should do.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was definitely a lot more cold and warm due to the fact of how I was raised, right? Like, my dad is a very cold person, and I would say I'm even more cold than him, like, let me not lie, you know? So
it's crazy how we're like, two opposites.
Yeah, exactly.
The product of our parenting.
Exactly, you know, and stuff like that. So whereas, like, my younger brother is definitely way more warm. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Boss is definitely way more warm than me. He's a lot more emotional than I am and
would
everything.
Would you say that that's because your parents' parenting style changed, or
it's definitely because he was closer to my mom. Okay. He was closer to my mom. My mom is definitely more of an emotional person, okay, right? So, like, he definitely got that from my mom. I mean, like, you can see just in our personalities how big of a difference that alone makes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, like, stuff like that. So, I think definitely that's one thing that kind of got right. But obviously, I said ish, as in, like, it goes too far, like, you know, kind of thing. You need to strike a balance, because, like, if it wasn't for Nicolette, I would have been a terrible person. Like, like, I became a lot more empathetic by being with her.
But I think that it goes both ways, because the way you were, like, very go-gettery and sure of yourself, those are such good traits to have in the world to succeed, and that definitely rubbed off me. So, like, I can see the good, a lot of the good to succeed in today's world. Like, you need to be like that. Whereas I'm like, doubt.
Definitely. And that's definitely. And then just to, I think we should touch on it is, and I think it's very important, is that whole thing of like the schedule and the dinner things. Cause I think we both have different opinions on that. I hate, and that's something I loved. My mom tried it. You know, you're watching this now, Mom. My mom tried it, but it failed. And we thank God every single day it failed. She tried to do the whole thing of us always sitting at the table. And I hate it. I hated it then. I hate it now. Because I feel like, don't get me wrong, the whole schedule idea is kind of good. Like, they should be going to, like, especially when they're very young.
Oh, there should be bedtimes 100%.
Bedtimes should be 100%. Obviously, when they get older, that's their own prerogative. Like, people do, like, take, for example, my youngest brother. He's a big night owl. Big man. He does all his work at
but
night.
But now he's older.
And then even, boy, he just does all his work at night. Yeah. And then, like, sleeps during the day, like, right? Because he just prefers it. That's how he is. And, like, even I used to be kind of like that. I used to have insomnia, and I do that. But then I flipped now, and I'm like, I can do whatever I want, but I just now I'm like,
Freaks, like, my brain is powerful. Our brains are so powerful.
No, I just try to, you know, go to sleep early if I can, but I'll stay late. Like, the last few nights I've been outrageously.
I've been staying late with you, so
outrageously late. Like, one, like, the night before that was like 5 a.m. or some shit.
Yeah,
and I went to bed. But anyway, that schedule thing is definitely good at the start when they're young.
Yeah.
It really does bring the whole balance, strikes the whole balance for them. But the whole sitting at dinner, it's just jarring and long. Because I'm not always hungry when you're always hungry. And I get the idea, especially back in the day when it made sense, when we didn't have, like, all the technology of, like even if you wanted to reheat food back in the day, it was long. Because you had to reheat it on the stove or whatever, depending on where you are. And that happens now, even, like, in parts of Nigeria, like, people have to reheat food. So it makes sense then where, like, okay, someone's made a food, everyone come and eat, right?
Yes, yeah.
But now, like, for example, my mom cooks, like, rice, stew, all these other different dishes, and it puts it in the fridge. So at any point in time, we can just go take what you want and eat when you want, because not everyone's hungry at the same time. Let's be honest, you know. And some people, like, maybe eat more than others or less than others. So, like, maybe they'll eat more meals. They want to eat more meals a day across the day, or eat less meals across the day. And I think it is, yes, you want your kids to have, like, a balanced diet and stuff, mm-hmm. but you can do that without forcing everybody to be at the
table.
But
would you say, so, okay, say you have, like, a toddler, right? Would you say that just whoever is taking care of him should just eat with him?
No, that's, you know? Like, obviously at that early stage, I think it's good to have both parents there, like, being like, oh yeah.
Involved.
Like, but take, for example, like, even when I go home now, right? And I'm eating, take, like, my dad or my mom might not be eating,
mm-hmm.
or my brothers might not be eating, but they, because they just see me in the kitchen eating, they'll come in and just chat to me while I'm eating.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can have that connection and that discussions. Yeah. Without everybody having to eat.
I agree. There's just certain elements of that. Like, for me, I think it's very important for my kid to be in the setting, because it just kind of, like, I don't know. I think a kid up to when they're a teenager, so they're like 10, 11, they're learning how to behave at a table, they're picking up things from
which absolutely makes sense,
which is so important to be there with your kid. I think when they're older, I don't really need that. What I do think is nice for people to eat together is if I finish making a meal and it's just cooked and I like cooked it for everyone, I would like for everyone to sit and eat
with
me.
Which absolutely makes sense.
Like, I think that's just, I don't care if we watch something together or like whatever, we sit together and eat together. It doesn't really matter, but it's kind of like a reward.
Yeah, like know? Everyone. Like yeah, I know that makes sense. I'm talking more about from the sense of like if you just like cook in batches, like my mom does, like cook in batches, you just like, okay, it's here, guys, take whatever you want. That's what it makes sense. But like obviously, like if let's say like you're making this whole thing, like it doesn't have to be an intricate dinner, but you're like, hey, I want to try this thing tonight. You guys want to eat it? And then everyone's like, yeah. Let's just all eat at the same time.
Exactly. No, and I completely agree. And I don't think like lunch should be eaten together or like breakfast, like everyone's on the go, whatever it is. But if it's like a specific, like I made dinner, I want everyone to sit with me, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, what are some things that your parents did right with you growing up?
Nothing. Nah, I'm joking. They love the statement.
You're taking too long to
think? No, they love the statement. Education is paramount, but it worked out in my favor, I guess. You know, like, because my parents were so heavy, education heavy, like, it worked out in my favor, like, I guess in the corporate world, if you want to say it, you know. Like, obviously, I'm not interested in the corporate world, but I do it, obviously, because money's money. But it's kind of one of those things where it's like, absolutely, because they pushed me so much to be educated and like try to have a fallback plan, it worked out in my favor, you know, because like every single one of us are like, oh yeah, man, I was like that. I was making YouTube videos. My dad was like, no, no.
He could have been so
successful. And you know the funniest thing? He says it sometimes. You know, he always goes to me, he's like, damn, man, look at that KSI, man. They have so much money. They're taking care of the rents. I was like, oh, that could have been me.
Meanwhile, right now we're struggling with YouTube.
Yeah, I was like, that could have been me and you. Like, literally, back in the day, I made this, there's this game called Ragdoll Kung Fu. And me and Sharif made a video online about it. And, like, that, like, back in the day, like, 1,000 views was a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And within a day, that shit hit 1,000 views.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, my God, we're going to be famous. We're going to be famous. Like, guy, like,
hold
you know.
Yourself.
You know? Praise and, yourself. Like, it was crazy. We're like, 1,000 views, you know? But then, like,
I think I did that, too. And basically we were watching Romanian's Got Talent, and there was this guy who made a song, and I took the song and I put the lyrics of it, posted it, and I think it had like 5,000, 10,000 views. I was like, this is my career.
Yeah, you know, like this is the shit, dude. This is what I'm doing now. But yeah, like, you know, if I had done that, who knows, guys, I could have been a famous YouTuber right now. But my dad stifled my growth. He said no. School, but the fact that he did make me go to school, you know, maybe I could have been a famous YouTuber millionaire. It certified that at least I always had something in my future, right? And don't get me wrong, I'm not one of those guys who's like, oh my God, you have to do education, because clearly times have now shown that you don't need school, right? You need the base level, like finish, graduate high school, as they say, and then that your diploma, get whatever. You don't need college, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's so many life paths in this world. Like people are making literal millions a year playing Fortnite. Like literal kids. Like
literal children.
Like literal,
reviewing toys.
You know, yeah, are doing crazy things. And you might be like, yeah, but it's so, the odds of, yeah, but if you start from a young age, the odds is probably it's going to be in your favor, right? Like, don't be shooting yourself down like that. And that's the thing. Like, there's so much passing up. But at the time for us growing up, it definitely was a very big thing. Like, literally when I was, like, finishing college, pretty much every engineering job was, like, and even now, like, it's very heavy. Like, it's, like, bachelor's in computer science or software engineering type of things. Or you're not getting even an interview, you know?
But would you say, like, obviously, because you were saying before that there are people that you were working with who don't come from an engineering background,
absolutely,
right? But would you say that's a lot harder to do today?
I think the competition is very severe now because a lot of people are trying to change over. So like by me just even going straight from like, and like obviously by going to like a university and them having connections, it made my life so much easier because like the connections were there, you know. Like obviously like people are doing it now, like my brother went into like data analyst now in the UK. But if you ask him how hard it was for him to do that transition from commerce, he'd tell you he'd never do that again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, even though he was successful, he'll tell you he'll never do it again because it was so hard. And that's why it's like, yes, it's like, at the time I was like, this is dumb, but it worked out in the end and it made sense in the end. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. But obviously that's for my unique scenario. And that's why it's like what my parents did, because like, this doesn't work out for everybody. Because some people just have no interest in it and they'll never have any interest in education. And they don't even want to go anywhere near that. So it's a big waste of time. Mm-hmm. Even back in the day for us, like, you know,
yeah.
But like obviously my scenario, it worked out for me, you yeah. know. That's why I said, it's like, okay, that's one of the things I can be like, okay, cool. But as I said, I could have been a famous YouTuber with millions of views and millions of millions, and I just be like, oh yeah, because I could have been bigger than KSI. Just saying.
In your head, you are. So it's okay. Yeah, yeah, in my head, I'm big, because I started before him.
I got 1,000 views first.
Yeah, for sure.
How about yourself?
Mine's actually quite obviously the opposite of yours, because my parents didn't push education like yeah. that on me. I think I've talked about it before. I was a lot more like free to choose. I could have been a very smart kid. But you're a smart kid. I wasn't focused on it. As yeah. I could have been academically smart, right? And I wasn't really, because I didn't really care. Like, I was doing applied math, understanding it quite easily. And then I was like, actually, I don't want to do this. And then I just decided not to, and my parents just allowed me, right?
Yeah.
My parents
would have been like, you are not, get the fuck out.
And I chose to do it as an extra subject. Yeah. And the teacher was like, why are you dropping it? Like, what are you doing? You're good at this. And I was like, my parents said, you know? But I think in a way that did kind of work out for me in terms of like my creative side, because I felt like a lot of freedom to choose. I felt like I could just do anything, you know? And obviously I ended up doing a master's because I was like, okay, I can't do anything in the working space. Mm. But I think that's what gave me the drive to, like, you know, post TikToks and like on Instagram. I was doing like fitness stuff before, then my TikTok channel, and now this podcast. And I feel like I can freely immerse myself into this world, and I never feel like guilty because I'm not succeeding.
Yeah.
So I guess there wasn't like this kind of pressure on
me. You never had that success, pressure, which is very good.
Which was extremely good for me, because I felt like, you know, the world is my oyster. Like, I never I have no interest in being a lawyer or a doctor. Like, I like to be creative. I like to think of things. I like to write, you know. Yeah. So just being able to have that freedom has been very nice for me. So very different to you.
Yeah, no, I know. No, for real, definitely. I think one thing I can say, like, your mom did a very good job, absolutely, of like doing, like, I think her parenting style, like, even though, like, as quote unquote, at the time, especially, like, whatever, and some people might look at it and be like, it's unconventional or not good, but yeah. like, the freedom she gave you and just being like very kind to you, but still being like, she always tried to be your best friend. Like that, funny enough, like, what your mom did the entire time is what eventually my parents started doing when, like, yeah. halfway through when I was already older. You know, like, they tried to be like, okay, be more like talkative and more like just talking about situations and being more things. And like, it shows that she was definitely ahead of the curve, like, with that. Cause yeah. like, it works out, like, could she have been more strict? Maybe. Could she have been whatever? But definitely what she did worked out for you in your favor, definitely. You know? And like, it shows that, you know, you've gotten to where you are now and everything. And like, that shows, like, obviously, like, you might have your own parenting styles, but obviously that can evolve over time. Like, my parents once evolved over time. And also, it might also be like, what is considered the norm or whatever, and you might go against it. It might be like, oh my god, you're doing bad parenting. Yeah, and like, I'm sure, yeah. like, people would talk, oh my god, she's, but look, they did, look yeah. at where you are now, look where their kids are. So, and I know their kids. So
there was that kind of thing. Or like, my mom, she, I was a very shy kid, and she was like kind of protective over that. Yeah. Like, yeah, just leave her alone. And then people would be like, oh, why do you let your daughter be like that? And that kind of hurt me, because I was like, this is just how I am. Like, I don't know how to be different. But my mom just kind of like accepted me. So that was really nice. But yeah, no, I felt supported. And I think my mom, like, I know it doesn't work for everyone, for your parents to be your best friends, but my mom really has been. And I feel like I don't really look at her as like, oh, a parent. Like, yeah, she's my mom, yeah. But like, I feel like I can just talk to her about like anything. Yeah, you know, that kind of thing, which is cool. And then on to some of the bad stuff, the not so fun stuff. So what are some things that you think older generations did wrong as parents? Not necessarily your parents, just parents.
Definitely kind of piggybacking on your point there is, I think they were too strict. Mm. I think it stifled a lot of people's growth, in the sense of like, I think we end up in the kind of generation of workers that we're kind of dealing with and above, like, older, is kind of like the whole like formulaic you know, like productivity, and trying to get the most out of everybody as in like just like as a cog in a machine. Mm-hmm. And whereas Gen Z is really trying to break that, you know, and I think it's great that they're trying to break that because obviously like their parents were a lot more like hands off, not even because they wanted to, just because they didn't have time because they're so stuck and strengthened with the whole, mm-hmm. you know, productivity. They didn't have time to take care of their kids. And then their kids are just like, yeah, well, fuck this. Like, I never want to be like that. I've seen what it's like. I don't want to work a 9-to-5 like that. And yeah. I want work-life balance. I want this. I want that. And people are like, oh, these gents here. Like, no.
We're lazy.
You know, like, oh, they're entitled, whatever. No, fuck that. Because, like, why the fuck are we cogging a machine to make someone billions of dollars and we're not really seeing much of that money? Like,
don't you know what I hate as well? Like, I'm just going to say, you really need to, like, pretend that you love your job so much. Your job is just everything to you, and it really isn't.
No,
there's a lot of me outside my job. Like, you know, me outside my job is who I really am. I'm like exactly. active. I'm doing my podcast. Da, 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 da. And like, I'd like for people at work to know me like that, but then they'd be like, "Oh, like, when do you have time for that?" Like, da, yeah. whatever. It's just that kind of like your work needs to be like
everything. And yeah, no, absolutely. I think because of that strictness, it really stifled people's growth. They didn't let them be as creative. Like look. That, like, the creative fields popped off mm-hmm. in our generation, mm-hmm. like slightly before our generation, because like, look at everyone who's like, if you think of like a millennial who's doing it in the creative field, they're making bank because there's so very few of them, because most of them never got the opportunity to do anything creative.
See,
so,
if you had my mom as a parent, you'd be a YouTuber now.
Yeah, but like stuff like that, like, you know, it makes a bit difference in the sense like you stifle their growth, like, because like someone who, like, take for example, back in the day, like, people would be like, why would you ever become a graphic designer? That's a stupid field, like, you make no money. And then all the graphic designer contractors are making millions, and you're out here freaking working 9-to-5, you're 50 years old and you're fucking barely making minimum wage. Like, it sucks because your parents are just stifling your growth and being too strict, you know, like, they never let you really like expand your horizons. And be like, they kind of like went like, here's a screwdriver, here's like a thesiscope, and here's this, like, well, you're one of these three, end of story.
Yeah.
You know, when like, you could have been a fucking amazing, like, whatever the hell else, you know, I made way more money. Or even, it's not even about the money, it's about that you would have been happy, at least, you know, you would have like, and because it's not money, it doesn't rule the world, it's about you being happy in the world. And yes, you need to make a certain amount of money to be happy, because obviously no one wants to be financially struggling. But at the same time, you need to really let, like, yes, you don't want your kid to make stupid choices, but you also have to like be like, let them really go with their gut as well, you know. And I think the older generation were way too strict, and it really stifled a lot of kids' growth. And now we have this whole productivity sheep like working environment that we're dealing with, that we're trying to fight against.
I agree. And I think especially because it's so important as parents to allow creativity, because school doesn't really allow it. Like, school is very, oh, you need to do this. It's very structured.
Yeah, you so learn things by rote.
In the home, you know, it'd be really cool to not be like that. I know Billie Eilish was talking in an interview about how, you know, when her brother grew up and her parents allowed them to stay past curfew only if they worked on music, because that's what they were passionate about. And they always stayed up late, like, making music, creating music, because that's what made them happy, right? Yeah. Other than, like, they just show up like tired to school, but like, they were doing something creatively, and look at them now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's like, these people are putting in a lot more work than the 9-to-5ers, just at something that makes them happy. So why don't you want people to do that?
Exactly.
Be happy. And what are something that your parents specifically felt could do better?
Honestly, like, I think, like, my dad and I have talked about it before, and like my mom as well. Like, definitely, I think it's just a little bit more Nigerian mentality. It's definitely a lot more harsh. Like, once again, like, it never, I'm saying this in a broad sense, as in like talking about both how I look at it from both my brother's point of view. Because really, realistically, honestly, like, as I said, I never really felt it too much, like, because like, I just end up being like a whole person. I just didn't really care. Like, I'm very like, we butt heads sometimes and we don't, you know, like, whatever. And so I think that harshness, like, didn't affect me just because of the way I was mentally, but I know it's something that neither of my brothers ever liked, you know, like, and I've seen them be annoyed with it. And this is something that we've even talked about ourselves, like, recently, you know. But obviously I'm not gonna say too much, because like, I have to let the other side be here, you know, to like talk about that. But they're
like,
not here.
Do you feel like there's something that impacted you yourself?
You see, I just don't care. Like, and that's the, I know I said this in the last, but I really don't, like, a lot of those things that were negatives, I never cared. Like, they are negatives, don't get me wrong. Like, looking at the bigger picture, like, I'm like, yo, these are negative things. But I just never took it and I never cared.
Right.
I just like, it is what it is, and I move on with my life. I was like, all right, that's annoying me. I don't like you for this. I don't like you for that. But, and I'm like, this is traits of you I don't like. But like, and then I just don't care and I move on with my life. But like, I've seen my brothers care. Like, they're like, this is annoying. This hurt me. This is whatever, you know? And they're like, this hurt me, you know? And like, my dad, like, take for example, like me, my dad and my younger brother, they would clash on things like that. But like, my brother would be like, yeah, that was just mean. You know, like, that was a mean thing. And my dad's like, it's not mean. You just have to man up or whatever. And obviously, I've seen my brother be like, oh, no, that's not the case. And like, to me, I would be like, oh, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, this is mean. But I just don't care.
Right?
And I'm just like, but I don't care. You know, I like, I can be like, oh, this is mean. But yeah. I just don't care. And I'm just like, go on with yourself. And then they go on with themselves or whatever. You know? And so you don't have that clash. But obviously, with my sibling, like, they will have that clash. You know? And I think it all depends on the person, but obviously, like, and that's something I think they have gotten better at, and they're like, okay, a little bit more understanding. Like, I know this is like this, this person's like that, and I have to be a little bit more like empathetic. I definitely that empathy thing, and as I said, like, it's just a Nigerian thing. That's a very cultural, like, and this is where people come at me again. But it is a cultural thing. We are definitely not as
You're
empathetic.
Nigerian.
Like, we're not that empathetic. Like, growing up, like, our parents didn't, like, let's be honest, though, they didn't really, and I don't, and this is where I'm coming from, like, I don't give them flack for, because, like, they didn't have the time to be empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
They were busy literally trying to struggle, like, to even stay alive, like, literally from one place to another, like, you know, like, my dad had to, like, sell things on the street, like, my dad had to, like, he lost his father at a young age, stuff like that. Like, they were too busy trying to survive to give a shit about your feelings, you know?
Yeah.
And so obviously, if you have kids, it's harder to think about that emotional aspect. But obviously, like, now that we've advanced as a society and we're not like in this like kind of like survival instinct, it is a lot of like, okay, maybe I can be like this with one person, but not like this with the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And just understanding the differences and the nuances between people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not just a one broad stroke, you know? And that's what I would say.
And that's how you deal with people in general, not just your kids.
Exactly.
You know, you gotta learn to adapt.
Yeah.
Me, I think to touch on a similar thing of what you said, I don't think it's my parents' fault for this, because it was very like survival mode and trying to get out of the village, you know, or trying to put food on the table. So it's definitely not their fault. But what I did feel as an only child growing up, now granted I had neighbors and stuff, like, I think what my parents could have done better is be a lot more present and engage in like play with your kid, or like creative, not creative, but like, you know, conversate with them, ask about them, and like a lot more engaged as parents. I felt like that was kind of missing. And I understand my parents were tired. Like, they came, my dad had to wake up at like about 3-4 a.m. to go to work, and so did my mom. And then they'd come home and just try to, like, you know, put food on the table, like clean whatever. They had to do so much stuff. My mom had to do a lot of stuff, right? And I think that I definitely felt that. I felt like I wasn't really talked to a lot as a kid. I felt like I was just kind of on my own a lot. And I, like I said, I did have my neighbors, and I'd stay with them like very late. I had my cousins that I grew up with like for a good few months, so that was very good for me. But like, other than that, in my own household, I didn't feel like I was engaged with
a lot.
So I think that's really important for parents to be involved in their kids' lives, you know, a lot more. Then on to the final piece of today's episode. What do you see being an issue in today's parenting?
Definitely. I think, like, I won't go too much into it, like, but as I've said it like 100 times now already, is I think people are way too gentle, like way too free range, way too gentle parenting. Like, I'm not saying you have to be like authoritarian, but at least have the boundaries and like try to set your kid up for the world.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just be letting them go do whatever and being overly empathetic or being overly like cold. Like, you have to strike a balance. And I think with the way people are doing gentle parent, it's not gonna ever strike that balance.
Yeah, and that's on my list as well, being too cuddled.
Yeah.
I think the iPad being thrown in front of a kid is really irking me.
Yeah.
Because it shows up a lot in kids' attention spans, in kids' intelligence levels, in schools, not being able to spend, like, have attention on doing things. I think that's really starting to show. And that's a product of parenting.
Yeah.
You know, kids don't just end up like that. Like, they're a product of their environment. And if that's how you treat them in the household and you just give them an iPad.
Sounds like gentle parenting is the issue because they're like trying to get the iPad off them.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay, you can have it.
You know, it's like, I don't like that.
Put that iPad away right now.
But obviously the gentle parenting of today's world is good also. But I think another thing, and I mentioned this at the very start, so just kind of, you know, full circle moment, it's parents not being like still not parenting together. We're still seeing so much of that, of like women having, you know, having to do a lot of the household stuff while also working. And back in the day, maybe women didn't even work as much, you know, whatever. But it's what I saw in my household as well, like women like working, taking care of the kids, taking care of the household and everything. And then the, you know, other parent being like, the kid just pooped, like what should I do, you know? And that's like, what's going on? Why are we still dealing with that? Like, exactly. Why is that still happening? Let's wake up.
Nah, I absolutely agree with you. Honestly. Yeah. No, I think it'll be interesting to see how the kids of this generation,
Gen Alpha
kids, turn out and how, like, you know, it's already kind of started. A few Gen Zers that are in their early 20s have, like, started. Noticed. Yeah, well, not new, I get old Gen Zers because they're the oldest ones. We are the oldest ones, I guess.
Yeah.
Those ones that are in their early 20s, those ones are starting to have kids. Some ones in their late 20s or, well, mid-20s are starting to have kids. So we'll see how in a few, out. In like 10 years, how that turns out.
God knows. We'll see.
Yeah.
But hope you guys enjoyed our parenting conversation.
Yeah, let us know what you think. If you disagree, agree. Let us know how your parents did, how other parents do, and just what your general opinion is on parenting.
Let us know. Let us know. Obviously, we're not professionals. We're parents.
Tell me that again.
Oh, it is what it is. Don't forget to like, comment, share, subscribe.
And join us Patreon.
Join our Patreon.
Link in bio. Link in bio.
And next time.
Peace.